Here we go. It's recording.
We are recording.
I just wanted to like make sure it was actually working.
Right. No, I get you. So, in this year, I have, well, I guess not in this year, but in about a year's time, I have dropped my fairway drivers, FDs. I've dropped my mid-ranges,
EMAX trees. No more EMAX.
So what's next?
Putters?
Putters!
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to stick. I'm really giving them a full tryout tomorrow, but I've been messing around with the new Legacy Rebels. They're like a slightly overstable putter.
Okay. Like,
it's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
More so than the P2.
For like your actual putting putter?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And so we're going to see how they go. I've just been messing with them in the backyard and doing putting practice with them. And they feel really good. The plastic feels really good.
In what ways are they different than your P2?
Slightly more overstable, and it's hard to call it a bead, but it is a bead, but it's hard to call it a bead because
like
it's not what I expect. It's not even what I expect out of like a micro bead. Like the way it fits on the rim in my like putting, in my putting grip, and you can't even notice it's there. You only really notice it when you like rub your fingers along the outside of the rim. I'll have to send you a picture of them, but
sounds like EMAC judge to me.
It's there. It's not. I mean, it's not like I've not felt EMAC judges before. It's just.
But like, there's a difference between like a worn in one and a brand new one.
I get it. I know, and that's like when you visited, it's like you could barely tell that the bead was there. But this one, like when you're feeling it, when you're like, you know, like feeling it with your fingers, like you pick it up, you can feel the bead there. But I can't feel it the way it is in my putting grip. And I don't know. I've just kind of gotten over, I think, the bead and beadless argument.
Well.
It's just whatever flies good.
Right. It's whatever you liked.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw like a trash can, and if it throws or if it flies well,
yeah,
it's good.
So yeah, we're going to see how they work tomorrow. I've been putting in a lot of putting practice lately, usually about 15 to 30 minutes a night. Obviously, not every single night, but most nights.
That's awesome.
And the Legacy Rebels have been pretty much exactly, I mean, honestly, it's exactly what P2s were when I first picked them up, because I didn't have like a very good consistent stroke when I was first picked up P2s. And
right.
So they gave me that extra fade in my putt to be a little bit more consistent on knowing it's going to finish left on my putts. And now I find my most miss is I'm just missing right a little bit, and it just kind of airballs or tickles the chain on the right and keeps going. So yeah, I'm excited.
So, that's exciting.
And I got them in a, like I won them on Instagram, so I didn't have to buy them, because I was thinking about, a lot of people have been talking about some of the EV7 putters and how they're a little bit more stable, and that's what I was like trying to avoid doing is spending more money on a putter that I didn't know if I was going to love or not. So
that's, yeah,
the fact that I didn't have to spend any money is a grade A bonus for me.
Heck yeah. How many did you get?
Two. I got a pair of them. They're like
beautiful.
I'm pretty sure they were like the test runs for Legacy of like how the stamp would work, because they have like I posted a picture of them a while back.
Okay.
But they have like, I don't know, some of the, anywhere from like 5 to 15 stamps on them that did, like some of them didn't fully take, you know, like fit yes. the foil. So
like kinda cool, like an X out, but not quite.
Yeah, they're pretty cool and new, unique, so that makes them kind of cooler. And then I just got to wait to see. They haven't released, like, the stock run of them yet, so. Yeah, so my, pretty sure, I'm trying to think if there's anything left in my bag that zones, I think, would be about it.
So you're going to have to get rid of your zones now.
No, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, get rid of all of them.
And getting rid of my zones. I don't have the same zone in my bag, so.
You have what, Jawbreaker zone?
Jawbreaker, Pro D, and then I'm in between two different Z zones right now. I have just like a stock one, and then I have a cool fly die. One
or
factory die or whatever it's called.
Fancy.
Yeah.
And, you like fancy discs now?
I thought now. What are you talking about?
You've if always anything, liked fancy discs.
If anything, my bag is 100% less fancy than it used to be.
It used to be quite fancy.
It used to be really fancy. And I keep... I'm going to throw one of my old nice FDs back in the bag just to see... Just to see
it,
one time.
Yeah, see if you throw it.
Just to see. Maybe tomorrow.
It's weird that you wouldn't have a FD in your bag. It's like what I know you by.
Yeah, I like if you're like, listening.
Who are you?
You're on the fence about if you want one of the new S-Line FDs. If you need a straight fairway driver, that thing is insanely straight. I don't know if I've ever thrown anything that straight. So I have this issue. I might make it back around to FDs, but I can't convince myself to bag FDs and not have my expensive ones in. But I'm also trying to move my bag away from things that are hard to replace.
Yeah, which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I like fancy shit, too. It's just like... There's something about holding something fancy. I don't know.
But to be fair, ever since I took out all the fancy shit out of my bag, I have thrown, I think, 4 of 6 900 plus rated rounds. So,
hey. So, yeah, that's.
There's not like it's not inhibiting me in any way.
Yeah, it's I feel like the fanciness is just for fun. Doesn't really help.
I
it's like flame decals on cars.
No matter what, I just think like Innova's Champion Glow Plastic feels great. I think is one of the main things. I really just love. Yeah, like that color glow Champion Plastic. One of my favorites.
I don't think I have any of it. So maybe I'll have to.
You don't have any more Sexton Firebirds?
I do. I totally forgot about them.
Okay. I feel like you have to have at least.
Yeah, they're off to the side. I never got into them. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like you really need anything that beefy in Colorado, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, same. But yeah, all right. That's a good open. I'm Kyle.
I'm Eric.
Hey, and
we're the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry. Did you want to say that?
Did you want?
My bad. I'm so used to introducing because
no,
we've been doing
perfect.
Interviews for a month at least.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have been doing a lot of interviews.
All interviews.
We'll talk about that in 1 second, right after we hit these ads.
Yeah. Check out discbaron.com where you use code, right now, you use code 155402 for 10% off until further notice.
So all the oh no codes that we put out into the world.
Yeah, don't use those right
don't
now.
Don't use those.
That's okay. It's just them.
Yeah, it'll happen. It's fine.
Check out frictiongloves.com where you can use code ONO20 for 20% off. And best way to support the show, head on over to our Teespring store and use code ONO for free shipping on any item. And as always, check out our social medias. Goddamn cat. Check out our social medias. Mostly on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube.
I've been trying on the old YouTubes. I'm trying.
Yeah, I mean, we've been consistent on YouTube where it's not like we're non-existent.
Yeah, it's just we're not big at all.
What are you doing? Sorry.
The cat being... Cat stuff, cat things.
Over everything.
Just normal cat stuff.
Yeah, normal cat shit. Yeah. But yeah, you can listen to our episodes on YouTube and.
Yeah, they do get.
And watch they get them. You can watch quite a few of them, right? Isn't there a few
yeah.
video?
Yep. And actually on Spotify too.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I forgot. Spotify accepts that now.
Yep.
So
weird, but if you're there, throw us a follow. I mean,
yeah, check us
why
out.
Not?
We
cost
we
nothing.
Have 130 followers on Spotify.
Really? I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you to 130 people.
Cool.
We appreciate you.
Pretty cool to see. I want to give a quick shout out to Nate Turner. If you enjoy disc review videos, I highly suggest following him or subscribing to him on YouTube. He does a really good job of reviewing, and he's not like a he's got a good arm, you know. He can throw, he's like M1 MPO player.
Nice.
But he does really well editing and getting his videos out, and they've been very enjoyable to watch. So I always like to point out small
creators,
content creators,
and yeah,
hopefully get them a couple extra follows. If you do follow them, tell them you heard from us, because that's a really good way to support the show and make other people check us out.
Yeah, good shit. I love it all.
Yeah. And then just to gush or thank our latest guests. We've had a lot of great guests this year already. I think almost more than we've had last year. So
it's crazy.
We're on a roll.
It's fun.
On a roll.
It's been a lot, but it's been fun.
Yeah. Our latest one was Zach Wendell from Terminal Velocity, and both of his discs have made my bag. He has the Cervini and the Ursus. Cervini, understable, 10-speed. It's one of those discs that if there's no wind, you could throw it on pretty much every hole.
Okay.
It, you know, it's understable enough where you can't throw it into a headwind. But
right. But if there's no wind, it's
yeah,
great.
If there's no wind, then you can pretty much, you know, put it on enough hyzer to throw it as hard as you want, or throw it flat and let it do a full S turn. But it's so useful in so many different ways. So you know hole 9 at Millington.
Yep.
It's gotten me like the long jump putt look pretty much every time I've ever thrown it.
Oh wow.
On that hole. I mean, obviously I've messed it up a couple times and shanked right. it left or right, because that's
just, as we do. Yeah.
That's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
But it's so easy to throw. It fits right into that Roadrunner, Sidewinder, beast ish. If you're like an end of a guy.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So My thing is, so I have an orc, an old orc that's really beat in, and that's what I've been using in that slot, and it's been really hard to make sure I have, like, a backup for it. So if you are listening to this and you have a certain run of old disc that is impossible to find, I highly suggest
going out. I do think I have an old orc for you.
Grabbing one or two. I have a few now, but it has been, like, a pain in the butt to try to make sure.
Fairly certain I have one.
Sweet. I mean, I'll take it because I like old orcs, but if you're listening and you're trying to replace that old beast or that old Roadrunner or that old whatever
it may
be. I'm
trying to replace the old Roadrunner.
Yeah, whatever it may be for your understable control driver, I highly suggest picking one up and trying it out. Maybe it doesn't make the bag right now, but when you lose that disc, you will be happy you have something that is easy to find. And then Ursus.
I
was just saying Ursus. It's overstaple mid-range slash approach disc. Either you're gonna love it or you're gonna hate it. Flat, skips well. I don't know. It has everything you want in like an overstaple 5-speed. I think they rate it, but you can. Once you get used to it, you can learn to throw it like your zone, or you can push it out just that little bit further than a zone if you, like, you know, needed to get farther.
Right. Additional distance.
Yeah, really nice. Both great discs and great plastics.
My package from Terminal Velocity actually just came in, so super excited to actually open that. I'm going to do an unboxing video that will come out probably way before this does, so good luck with that. But yeah, it should be on our social media shit. Pretty freaking excited. And then I'm going to do some reviews. I'm going to do like a few video reviews of them.
And so. we have no idea what's in it yet, so it could be just a review on the hat.
It could just be like a bunch of rocks for all I know.
It's just a hat and a bunch of rocks
and like a middle finger on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I deserve
and
it.
And some ketchup packets.
I was thinking mustard.
No, you don't like mustard.
So I know.
He doesn't like mustard.
That's the whole idea, is like sending me just something I really don't like.
I gotcha.
I don't even like the smell.
You think he's like a jerk?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. No. He was super nice.
Yeah, no, Zach Wendell was great. If you're not following him, follow him on Terminal Velocity Discs on Instagram. He's got a buy, sell, trade page on Facebook. Always dropping new stuff. I'm really excited. He gave us a sneak peek of the Splatter Ursus, which is like their base plastic one, and it's supposed to be slightly more overstable than their base plastic one they have already, which is nice, but...
That'll be cool.
Super excited. And then on your card, new fantasy disc golf app, where you get to play against pros. They do have free leagues too, so if you want to try it out before you compete against the pros, you can. And I am currently leading first place in both leagues against pros that I am playing. So
really?
I think I found my calling.
You're cheating.
Dude, I'm just good. I'm like, I don't think I have picked one every time. So my game plan, and I'm going to give everyone a little bit of secret here.
Yeah, why not?
I have my two FPO players that I pick. I don't try to pick the winner of the FPO field. I try to pick, because it's about the same price for like the number one FPO and the number one MPO. So I'm trying to pick the two top 10 FPO players is my like game plan, but I'm trying to get them for cheap, you know? And then my two MPO players, I bet like super, what was it?
Who are you playing pricey against?
I'm playing against Casey White and Ezra Robinson.
Ooh.
So like, I can't look at my team that I had last week because I already changed it. But for the upcoming one, just to give you guys an idea, I have Joel Freeman, Maria Oliva, Caroline Henderson, and Calvin Heimberg. And Caroline Henderson has been in my lineup every week because she only costs like $1,000-ish because she's so new. So she doesn't have like any, you know, like no one's really betting on her. And
market inefficiency that you're capitalizing on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, Calvin, it allows me to afford Calvin Heimberg because I feel like he's always going to be top 10 or at least right there. And
maybe even just top five all the time.
Yeah. Or winning.
Or winning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So his average finish has been 2 1/3. So, yeah, he's got in the three tournaments, he's got first, third, and third. So, yeah, like I don't, he's just, he, you know, and I bought him when he was cheap too. That's what's cool is you can. If I mean, obviously now the prices have changed, but if you started way back at the beginning of the year, you were buying them for like $3,000, and now he's worth like $4,000. So
badass.
It's been fun, and I guess so. They're asking for reviews of it, and I've been kind of keeping notes of what I would do to change. And one of the things I would change as soon as you can, but it may be more complicated than I think it is right in the app or right on the website or whatever, it tells you if they're playing the next stop or not. Because like this one coming up is a silver series, so there's a lot of people that aren't playing it because it's a silver series.
Right.
And you have to like go, it gives you a link to check on the PDGA page, but it still is like one more step. So that would be the first step I would try to figure out if it's possible. If it's not, or I mean, obviously it's possible, but if it's more complicated than it needs to be, then it's fine the way it is. But
and what are you saying exactly? I'm sorry.
Okay, so when you go to like your person's page, so for Calvin Heimberg, it lists how he played, but there's no place that lists the next tournament they're playing.
Oh, okay.
So you have to click on the link that just says check next tour stop, and then it takes you to the PDGA page so then you can look at his upcoming tournaments. But it would be nice if it just said, you know, somewhere right on this page, playing Texas States this year or whatever. Like, that's the next one is like, you know, will be present at Texas States. Kind of like, you know, like how in football there is like questionable or out, you know, or yes, or active.
Yeah.
That'd be about the only thing that it would just be nice to not have to do that little bit of extra research, but that's just instant gratification.
Yep. That's America, baby.
That's showbiz, bitch. And last, one of our other guests that was awesome to see. We got to send a thank you to Bray Marsden all the way in New Zealand for getting us on the National New Zealand Disc Golf Championships. That's a mouthful. Yeah.
It was, but it was a good mouthful.
it's like a big spoonful of cake if you like cake. But yeah, it was awesome to see. If you didn't have a chance, MDG Media put on or filmed like the feature cards for MPO at the New Zealand Championships, and it was a great course, but it was awesome just to kind of see our names on the YouTube, you know, on the YouTube video of it.
Yeah, it's kind of special. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Big jump for us, and we cannot thank Bray, Levi, huge thank and Ethan,
you.
Ethan Stout enough for joining us on a podcast and chatting all things New Zealand disc golf and some things not disc golf. Because that's us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So make sure you support all of our friends. We have lots of them.
Yeah. We've made a lot more in just this past, I don't know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Yeah. So
Yeah, it's been a wild year so far. We've done, I think, 6 episodes, and only one of them has been just us.
Which, like, I don't know, we went for quite a while with just us, so
yeah.
It was kind of nice to do some interviews, but I like going back and forth.
Yeah, as I say, hopefully we'll get it balanced out. We just had a lot of things we wanted to be able to get, like, the episode out for.
Yeah.
We wanted, you know, obviously we wanted our episode to be released before New Zealand Nationals, and then we wanted to get On Your Card out before the season got too far along, et cetera.
Yep.
So, yeah. And now we can move on to the Disc Golf Network. If you've been paying attention, the Disc Golf Network has improved, as usual. Every year they kind of get a little bit better. And they've done a couple new things that haven't been great.
Like what?
So they added in, like, it's called Tournament Central, and it's like, you know, like College Game Day. I don't know if you watch a lot of college football.
No.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really weird. The first time they did it, it was like, you could tell it was green screen, but they made, like, the desk and the room so small, so these people just looked like giants on the screen. And it was so strange.
Weird.
And I think they're, like, you know, they're trying to work with people, and they're trying to find, like, new people to become faces for the Disc Golf Network, and I get it. And I don't think it's something they should scrap. I just think it's something that they need to improve as the year goes. And they normally do.
What, you don't like shitty green screens?
No, it was, dude, I'll have to go back and, like, pull it up and send you the picture and send you a screenshot of it, because it's just so funny. It's literally, like, the desk is probably a quarter of the height of, like, what the people are.
Oh.
If that makes sense. It's like, like, the proportions are so off that it's just like, I mean, I get it. I'm not watching it for the, you know, for like, watching that, these people talk. I'm watching it to listen and, like, hear the information.
You don't want that to be distracting, essentially.
Yeah. So my suggestion, DGN, is, if you're listening, because you are, because you have taken our advice plenty of times.
Yeah, it's our, everything we've done.
Is get as many advertisements into Tournament Central as you can. Just stuff them in any way, shape, or form. Just get them all out, and then put as few as you can into,
like, on the
actual
coverage
broadcast.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, fuck the site up.
Yeah.
15 ads.
I just feel like, so to me, I feel like when I put on Tournament Central, I'm literally just putting it on as, like, a radio show. And all I want to do is hear what they're talking about, hear, like, you know, what, because they talk to, like, the on-course guy, whoever it may be, Brian Earhart, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And just kind of get, like, what the lay of the land is looking like for the day and stuff like that. And so just the audio is good enough. So you could do, like, where you did, like, the screen and screen, and, you know, just pump out a few extra ads. Then you wouldn't have to have as many during live coverage when important things are happening, and you cut down the important screen to a quarter of the size of the TV or whatever you're watching on.
Yeah, and fucking hate that shit.
Yeah. And then my also other suggestion would be keep a running, like, scoreboard on the bottom. I like that. Maybe some people did it. I don't know. This is just, like, my personal suggestion. I just like that little, right at the bottom, it just says the top 4 people. It just is nice. Jomez stopped doing it too, but I don't feel like I need it for Jomez as much, because I'm getting an update on every hole, you know, right. Whereas in Disc Golf Network, it's jumping around from hole to hole to different groups and stuff like that. So
yeah, it could be confusing.
It's not like I'm not going to stop watching it just because of that. But it was nice. And then you can fit a little ad right there too, you know, just a little one in the corner and sell that to somebody so you can stop showing a lot of ads because you guys have sent me. I've seen a lot of ads.
Too many ads.
It's been a lot of ads.
The ratio. The things, I don't like that they're you pay for this service and then you just get blasted in the fucking face with just a bunch of ads.
It's who like, am I supposed to vote for? The Republican who's blasting my ass? Or
yeah, it's just a big ass blast.
Yeah, there is a lot of ads. I can mostly get over it. I've said it before. I mostly turn stuff on as background noise, so it's pretty easy to ignore.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But
yeah,
if I could choose, obviously if I could choose, but I'm not paying any extra. I'm already paying for it, so I'm not like paying twice to get ad-free.
I'm gonna put it on here, and instead of just like doing it, we're finally getting our pennies again from pennies. Not Anchor, but from what is it called? Fuck,
Spotify for podcasters.
There you go, Spotify for podcasts. Podcasters.
Which is the same thing. It's the same thing as Anchor.
It's the exact same thing. But we are, you know, going to get we have to make an advertisement. So look out for my terrible advertisement incoming.
Soon to a podcast near you.
Because I'm sure that they don't care too much.
No.
So
I don't. I mean, if anything, if we recorded a bad ad for them, they might care eventually, but I don't think they're going to listen to our whole episode to figure out if we talk shit about them or not.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's not like they're horrible or anything. It's basically just Spotify. So
yeah.
Thanks, Spotify. But yeah, at least they're giving us pennies again. Hooray.
It's kind of a weird ad because it's like, I wouldn't listen to a podcast to learn how to make a podcast.
It's a stupid ad. It's really dumb.
Yeah.
No one's going to. And we don't have. There's no code. There's no. You know, it's just. Mm-hmm. It just.
They just pay us a penny to say.
Right. So.
Spotify for podcasters.
So, yeah. I'm definitely just going to be like, thank you for the penny. And.
Fuck off now.
Yeah, it has to be 30 seconds long, so,
We'll just put some Jeopardy music.
Ooh.
That's probably.
Get a copyright strike.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that they do that on, like, podcasts.
Right, yeah. I mean, what are they going to do, take our penny?
Yeah, there you go. They're going to take our pennies.
They are going to take our pennies, for sure.
Well, that leads us into.
We are 2/3 of the way through the Texas swing, which is exciting because we get to go back to a non-disc golf or non-golf course.
Hell yeah.
So there's been 3 tournaments so far throughout the year, and 2 of the 3 have been golf courses, which I'm not a fan of, and it makes my heart hurt.
I think the reason is like, actual golf or disc golf courses are just so
they're
made
hard to videotape
perfectly for disc golf, you know.
Yeah,
that's what my thought is.
I just think they're harder to videotape. I think this disc golf or this golf course, people were just trying to bring a tournament to an area that it's like trying to bring a tournament, a elite series tournament to Colorado. Austin's been known for how great the disc golf has been around it, but none of the courses are great for filming or for the pro tour. So they had to kind of come up with something different. I think it'll be fine. It's, you know, I've said it a couple times on everything. Every time I talk about it, DGN or the Pro Tour, whenever they go someplace new, it's just not perfect. And instead of giving up, I hope they just work with it because I think the course has potential. I do. Yeah,
and it'll get better every year probably.
Yeah, and it's not like LVC to me is the worst of the worst as far as disc golf courses go. Because they're due so many times of just throwing down the fairways. But a lot of these holes were like, you're kind of like airing it out over the golf fairway, but then you want it to fade back in to off the fairway, or you're throwing from like one side of the fairway to another side. It had potential. It was one of the problems is it was kind of like Northwood Black. It's first year of Northwood Black, where the woods wasn't beat in either. So it went from like kind of wide open areas to like insanely tight.
Super duper difficult. There's not even a line there.
Like I said, I hope they don't cut it out and just never go back there. I hope they work with it and turn it into something that we look forward to. It was funny at the practice round, the Jomez Pro practice round for this the Open at Austin. Talked about how Waco never used to be like one of those courses that everyone looked forward to, but because they've added more golf courses to the tour, it's one of those places that everyone looks forward to because it's more back to like the roots of disc golf,
which is what the sport should really be like aiming towards, don't you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think Waco does it good because, you know, it's nine holes of like park golf where it's kind of in the open, but you still have to like hit a line. It's not like throwing down a golf fairway, right? You know, where you have 100 feet left to right where, you know, because I feel like when you do so many of the big golf fairways, it's like park jobs or nothing. If you're not parking it, you're not gaining strokes, you're not winning.
Right.
Whereas you do a little bit more of these, you at least need to hit a line to get a look, to get a putt, blah, blah, blah. It's different.
So it's definitely a different feel.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of, at Waco, can you think of like the cliffs that are behind a lot of the views?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I have this funny thought every time I've kind of seen it. I was like, man, that's just like such a cool mountain. And I was like, Kyle would be watching this and be like, oh, that's such a cute little hill. I'm fully aware it's not like a mountain, but I'm just, right. I live in Michigan and everything's so fucking
it's flat. So flat. It's, yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, that looks so cool. And so I always think it's funny.
Fuck yeah.
Also, I don't know if I've got to talk to Kyle about this at all. Jomez Pro is doing FPO this year.
Ooh.
Yep. Got FPO lead card by Jomez Pro with the two hot geese, Erica and Madison. So that's
hot,
been
hot
cool.
Geese, huh?
That's what they call themselves. They call
that's
themselves
interesting.
The two hot geese, and then they honk after they go.
All right.
Two hot geese honk.
I guess you have to have a thing.
Yeah, I have not done enough research to figure out where that started. But
honk, honk.
And then GK Pro is not doing any post-produced coverage for the Pro Tour. They are doing just skins match and then like random tournaments that like pros are at, but they're not like on the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
I think and I don't know for sure, but I think they lost a lot of money with the big money skins match that went horribly and weren't able to like
buy the card
for it. I think right. I can't, I don't know, but pretty crazy.
Interesting.
It's an interesting disc golf world we live in right now. Especially with how exciting FPO is as of lately. I can't say they're almost more exciting as the MPO, because MPO has been.
They're different. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. Well, so there has never been an FPO winner from the Chase card, and we've gotten close now in these last two tournaments where like people had chances, right. But overall it usually is like they still end up short. But an MPO is the first time ever that we had back-to-back events with a winner from the Chase card.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Kyle Klein won at Waco from the Chase card, and then Gannon Burr won the Open at Austin from the Chase card. So that's pretty cool. It's always nice. It's just really cool for, you know, being around and paying attention to history, I guess, right? History, I think.
The history of disc golf, or like, modern history.
I don't think it's ever going to be something that is like brought up as like, this was the first time ever, but it's like cool. I don't know. It's cool that people are just paying attention that much to, you know.
Yeah.
Ricky's injured. There's no Ricky Wysocki as of right now playing disc golf. He tried, but then dropped out.
But I thought the ice baths.
Swelling in his wrist. I don't know.
But the ice baths, Eric.
I feel great. I took an ice bath today and I feel fucking awesome. So I don't know what's Ricky's problem.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe it was just like his brand of, you know, bath.
He dropped out a month ago now of the All-Star weekend. And then this was his first try back this past weekend. And
he usually dominates Texas. So
dropped out round three.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Well, hopefully he turns it around.
Yeah. I think he said he's like, I think part of him wanted to get back before Texas States, that he like pushed himself back a little bit earlier than he originally would have been ready. So
injuries are bitches.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
You want to talk about your injury? Be quiet, please.
He's just like trying to bite his own tail.
No, he's like, I'm injured too.
Yeah. He's always injured.
And then
perennially.
This has been exciting because Matt Oram like kind of re-jumped on the scene 2 years ago, and then this year we've had two kind of veterans in the sport but never really took time out to tour full time. James Proctor and Scott Withers James Proctor has been like kind of right there at the lead. He's been playing really well, couple top five finishes. And Scott Withers has got on a couple of lead cards and a couple hot rounds. So it's just kind of cool to see people who haven't been like household names.
Right.
If you just watch Disc Golf Network or just watch Joe Miz Pro,
like, kind of touring for a long time, names. Probably. But
yeah, I mean, like one of the best runs of Gator is like the Scott Withers Gator from like 2013 or something. So been playing
that sounds
forever,
like a fancy disc,
just never has ever like they've always, you know, had family or worked a full-time job, so they've never taken time and there was one thing I wanted to say about Disc Golf Network, but I forgot again, so that's okay.
That's life. If you think about it.
Kyle? Did you have anything to say?
I'm pretty much good to go.
All right. Well, I also think this will lead into the top five, but also watching all of the coverage, I have come to the conclusion that more people have been hit by discs this year than they have in like the 3 years that I've been watching the Pro Tour. Now, that could be two things. Could be the dumbing down of humans in general, or it could be just that they're filming so much more of everything possible that, you know, you're just naturally going to catch those more often than not.
Do you think there's like, because they've hit spectators too, right?
Spectators, camera guy, and I don't know what Anthony Barella hit somebody, and it's really hard to tell because he was in front of the spectator line, but he wasn't a camera guy and he didn't have a spotter sign. So ooh. I don't know if it was like a dickhead who was like running across the fairway
right
to do whatever, something dumb. But he caused the worst problem. So the guy who got hit by Anthony Barella's disc at LVC got hit, and then when he got hit, he knocked the disc into the bunker, which is a stroke penalty. So that was the worst of, not the worst of like the painful, but like the worst right of what ruined, like, you know, something for the disc golf score, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's just shit should not be hit. That, you know, people shouldn't be getting hit. You should have your crowd in a place that doesn't allow that. I don't know.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell what exactly was going on. Like, I don't know. And no other extra information was released about it. Weird. So it's hard to say.
Maybe he killed a guy.
Maybe. And then the other one that was kind of a big one, Eric Oakley threw a big forehand out of bounds, and everyone was paying attention and like ducked to get out of the way of the disc.
Yeah.
Except for one guy who's just kind of walking down the sidewalk and just literally just blasted smashed the chest with it. Yeah. Just like, I mean, that one's the funniest because I don't think, it hurt him, you know. I mean, it probably hurt a little bit, but not like enough to really cause any super physical
like a
pain.
Ton of
maybe
damage,
some,
but yeah, just some good physical comedy.
Mm-hmm. And it just like the look on his face of oh shit before, you know, when it's too late.
Dude, when you first sent me the video of Eagle,
that was
I fucking lost my mind.
Oh, that was such a bad one, and now they
it
have
was so the bad, but also like. It's really funny. Noise.
Oh, yeah. Slapstick comedy, bro.
I thought it was hilarious. If you haven't seen it.
We grew up on Jackass.
Go watch Eagle throwing your grenade right into somebody's head.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you could have placed it more perfectly on top of somebody's head.
The noise is insane.
Yeah. Yep, Eagle but went on record saying, talking about it too, saying that the noise was like sickening to him, and he was a good 200, 250 out, so to think that it made that much of a noise that you could hear it from 200 feet away.
It's not good.
And now there is a picture released of the aftermath of the guy's head, so.
Ooh, gonna have to look that up.
That I'll send it to you, but it's
do not, it.
It's not pretty. And that leads us into our top five. If Kyle,
it really does
give us the countdown.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Top five.
First top five.
We haven't done that
second
in such
top
a long
five
time.
Of the year. Second top five of the year.
It felt weird.
Yeah. I was like, is it a top five? Do we normally do this? Is this
oh, but
is
we're this doing it.
So for our top five today, we picked the top five worst places to get hit with a flying disc. And these are all imaginable because
yes,
we have never
much
thrown discs at each other on trampolines. Ever.
Never done that.
So number five, because mainly because it reminds me of my childhood of riding Razor scooters, is the shin.
Yeah.
Because getting hit in the shin with anything hurts.
Skateboarding, God. Too. I mean,
one of the worst feelings is hitting your shin on anything.
Yep. Did I ever tell you I have a gross thing? My right shin, I was running to go jump onto a golf cart, and ooh. I missed the step, and just caught the metal just like scraping against my fucking bone, and my bone now on my right like shin is forever like it like goes straight, and then there's like a
divot.
Yeah, well, it's more of like how do I describe this?
Gross. It sounds gross.
It's gross. yeah, it's gross. That's all. I don't know how that tangent happened, but
shins. They suck to get with anything. Shins.
Yeah.
Especially a 70-mile-an-hour flying frisbee.
Yeah, it sounds like it would really hurt.
Yeah.
Probably worse after my fucking whatever. Terrible shinner story.
Accident.
I was a kid too. I don't even remember. Like,
kids should not be allowed to ride golf carts. Nothing good has happened with kids and golf carts.
It taught me how to drive, I think. But yeah,
I learned on the lawnmower.
Problems. Well, that is number one or five.
Doesn't matter. It's not whatever. I mean, it's kind of in an order, but at the same time, they would all suck.
That's true. Number four is the ankle bone. Eric, you picked this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and explain.
It's the same thing as the shin, except it's like right where your ankle rotates. Have you ever are like rolling your ankle? Oh, how much pain is in that little section?
Yeah, there's a lot of nerves in that.
Mm-hmm. Just, or like hits that, and then your foot, you know, like that, your whole ankle swells up from getting hit so hard, and then you can't walk.
Ugh. Yep, that's great.
Shin, I don't know. Four and five, those shin and ankle bone could be flip flopped, and I would agree either way. Anything down there is just is not right. Good.
It's just because you have to walk then too. Like, mm-hmm. That's rough, especially when you have to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and stand on your feet. Yeah, I can imagine you trying to walk around after getting hit with a 70-mile-an-hour disc, walking your pups.
That would hurt.
Be fun.
That'd hurt like fuck.
Yeah,
I've been just so trying to be so careful, cause like I don't know, I hurt myself randomly all the time.
Right. I can't take any time off. These pups need me.
They do. They need me. I just got back from like a week off, dude. They were so excited to see me.
I bet.
It was great. I had a great time today.
Great. You know, dude, it was awesome. Not only do you get your like exciting puppies who of your own puppies, but you also get exciting puppies of your clients' puppies.
Yep. It's pretty sweet. They look forward to it. It's just all good. Love it.
Oh, good things here.
Yep. As long as you like dogs.
Yeah. Most people do. Or they're wrong. Number three is pretty much speaks for yourself. Face and or nose. Anything in the face would hurt, specifically the nose, because I don't know if it's just me, but the lightest like bumps on my nose send me into tears.
Yeah. Have you broken your nose before?
I have not. Not that I know of anyway.
Okay.
But it hurts. Just like the lightest bumps on my nose hurts.
You have a lot of cartilage.
It's a big nose. I have a big
nose. You have a big nose. I have a big nose too. So.
Yeah.
Big nose, guys.
I would probably smush it. Like if I just like took a disc right to the nose, it would smush.
Just all the way down.
I'm not willing to risk that. Also, right on top of the head, it might not hurt as much as like the face, but just anywhere in that general vicinity is just dangerous, and it would hurt a lot.
Yeah, a lot of nerves in that area. Also, a lot of nerves in the next thing. If you're male, dick and balls.
I'm sure.
I said balls, and Eric said the dick. And I was like, well, no, getting hit in the balls would be way worse. It'd be, like, way more difficult to get to, but, like, you know, if it was, like, a 1 in a million shot.
Yeah, I agree. Nope, I didn't disagree. I think balls would be worse.
Balls would be definitely worse.
But it was hard just to be hit your balls. It'd have to be, like, a jackass.
It would suck to get hit in the dick, too. Yeah.
A jackass stunt at that point. Yeah. So that would not
Can
be
you
fun.
Imagine just sending like a roller like right. at each other's dicks?
No, I can't.
Early Jackass was such a weird thing.
Dude, I know. Kona Panis, when she first signed with Dynamic, did a thing where they threw discs full speed into people.
What?
Yeah, I'll have to find it on YouTube and send it to you. But when she first signed with it, her and I think it was Eric McCabe lined up and threw discs at least. It was like a small YouTube channel, people that, and that's what they do is, I can't even remember the name
throw
of it. But
at people?
At people, yeah. Like full, like drivers.
I'm into it, actually.
I don't know, Jackass is a really weird thing. It's funny because it's as Jackass progressed, it got more about like dick and ball torture than it did just like, I mean, they just still did stunts, but it was like the farther it went on, the more dick and balls was in the movie.
Yeah, that's true. They did quite a lot of dick and ball stuff pretty early on though. If you look at the early on, they're just like sitting
like
in a
TV
room
and they just
were throwing balls.
Mm-hmm.
God, that dude. Craziness.
Rough.
Woof.
And the number one, because I feel like if you're going to get hit anywhere and it has a possibility of killing you, it's going to be here. We pick the Adam's apple or right in the neck.
Dude, you get caught right in the throat.
Yeah.
You're going down.
And you might, I mean, there's a good chance you don't die, but if there's any place where if you're getting hit with the disc and you have a chance of dying, I feel like it's there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that that could cause so many issues. And,
don't even want to think about that. Oh my gosh.
Just like the feeling of you just losing all chance of breathing for a while.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible. Well, that's the top five worst ways to die worst places to get hit with a flying disc. If any of you have been hit with any of these, let us know because we want to know if that's the worst pain you've ever felt or if there was something that you would compare it to.
And obviously, if you're contacting us, you didn't die. So
right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. We're happy you're alive and living.
But thank you for coming along on this wonderful journey of just Eric and I bullshitting with each other. It's a lot of fun. I look forward to it.
It was nice to just chat. Not
that the interviews aren't good. It's just
I enjoy
like
guests.
They have a certain amount of pressure to them. We have to like
put on airs.
Just a little bit. Just a bit. I don't know. But like us, we can just be like, "Hey, fuck you, man." Like I don't know.
It's funny because we really don't have to put on airs because most of the people have listened to our podcast
and they get
before they come on, so they know what they're getting into.
Low expectations.
No, it's just nice to kind of be able to talk whatever comes to my mind and not feel like I'm ignoring the guest.
True story. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Catch you on the flip side.